Good morning. Welcome on this first Sunday of Advent. Advent means coming. It is the opportunity for Christians to prepare spiritually for the celebration of Christmas. So welcome as we prepare ourselves for the coming of the Christ child. We'd ask you to take a moment to fill out the ritual friendship cards. As we always say that, but it really is true. It's always a good avenue of giving a message to Reverend Chris or Jackie's, and it helps her keep track of the attendance. So we're very grateful if you do that. Do have several announcements this morning. I'm going to touch on some, and then we have a couple others who are going to be joining in. I wanted to point out tomorrow evening, my ladies' Bible group, we will be meeting here at 7 p.m. and working on our Advent study. So that's tomorrow night at 7 p.m. And on our calendar, as you see, Reverend Chris's hours are listed. Wednesday, of course, Kids Club. And we do want to emphasize the church board meeting at 6:30 is open to everyone. So any of you who want to come, we would be very appreciative of your attendance. On Thursday, of course, the sanctuary choir is meeting. Tuesday, the work day. Extra hands always welcomed. Today, our senior youth group is selling pepperoni rolls, $2 each after worship in the dining room. So thanks to Roxanne, and I'm not sure who else, they got that project off the ground. So I'm sure they're very excited about that. Also, your poinsettia order should be in the office no later than Thursday. And if you need to make a call to Jackie about that, or if you know someone who isn't here today, you might mention to them, they could call and let Jackie know. So at this time, Judy has an announcement, please.
Morning. As you see, we have a little Christmas going on inside, outside, actually a lot of Christmas going on. And one of the reasons we have all these beautiful decorations is thanks to Mike Prinke's mom, Nancy Prinke, who was behind an awful lot of it. But because we have so many lovely decorations, it takes a lot of time to put them up and to get the boxes down and to do everything. And what I wanted to do is recognize some of the people that have put a lot of hours in the past week to make it look as beautiful as it does now. Last Tuesday on the workday, Jerry and Ken Metzger got down all the boxes and set up most of the trees. Janice is here doing a lot of cleaning of the woodwork in the church, which it's one of those things you don't notice, but it looks a lot better, and it is definitely a lot cleaner. And I did all the kids' rooms. And then during the week, Teresa and Donna Lichty also came down and set up the Easter room over here, which is very beautiful. Please stop and look at it. The colored candles all have significance for the different disciples. And I think that's right, isn't it? Yes, okay. And then yesterday, for between 3 and 4 hours, the following people helped. Reverend Chris and his family, Ken Joyce and Greg Metzger, Jerry Brow, Cheryl Keller, Janice Simpson, Wanda Reynolds, lost my place, Linda Ainsley, Teresa Grinaldo, Roxanne Youngkin, and her mother, Betty Heisterman, and Sierra, and myself. Sounds like a lot of people, but there's so much work. So if you enjoy the Christmas, let me encourage you, please come, give a hand next year. There's jobs for people who can do nothing more than sit. It's called fluffing pine, doing things like that. But what we really, really need next year, and that's why I'm talking to you today, is men for the outside. If Greg hadn't been here yesterday, it would have just been awful. So we need some male help. So any of you who could help us hang up those outside decorations, really appreciate it next year. And we'll remind you again then. And just one other thing. In the narthex, there's a big red bulletin board covered with red felt. If you'd like to send Christmas greetings to somebody in the church or to people, rather than sending individual cards, write one, put it on that bulletin board. Easier for you, and then we can all enjoy. Thank you.
Good morning. I have a few announcements myself. Just continuing to talk about the Christmas season. First off, I want to say, I don't know if it's been mentioned, the budget committee is going to meet this afternoon in the kitchen at 1:30 to prepare the budget for the congregational meeting. Also, Jackie Henry is going to be in charge of the selection committee, so if you have not heard from her, you may be hearing from her in the days ahead to be on the committee, and we will start the process of putting together the slate of officers again also in time for the congregational meeting. So coming up in Christmas, and you've seen it probably in your newsletter, but I want to just go over a few points here. My Christmas party will be on the 13th, 2 weeks from today, from 4 to 7. Anybody from the fellowship committee and anybody who is interested in helping, just please check with Melissa after the service today to get started on plans for our Christmas party. Then the next week we will have our tasting party, so get your recipes ready, get your appetizers and treats ready. We'll have a wonderful time following our congregational meeting. That is December 20th. Of course, you know when Christmas Eve is, but the service will be at 7 o'clock, and it should be another enjoyable and beautiful, heartfelt evening of worship and celebration. We have the senior youth group is going to meet on the 13th, and the junior youth group is going to meet following the congregational meeting on the 20th. But the thing I want to talk to you the most about is the Carol by Candlelight. Carols by Candlelight. That will take place on December 16th. And as always, we need people to help participate. The choir is ready to go, and they will sound wonderful. And we will have some wonderful decorations, even more so than we have now. But we will be needing some help with people to read different poems and readings. I will take volunteers, but very soon I will be calling. So if anybody's interested in participating in that service, December 16th from 7 to 8, I think that it is a very enjoyable time to really get set and ready for the Christmas season, not waiting until Christmas Eve, but a time of peaceful beauty and celebration of the season. So I hope that people will help to put it together, but I also hope many people will come to attend. It is one of my favorite times of the year. Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend Chris and Judy. Are there any other announcements that I may be unaware of? Cheryl. MOPS, Tuesday at 5:30. Refreshments? Okay. All right. Seeing no other announcements then. Welcome again to the Lord's Day. It is our great privilege and responsibility on this day to worship the risen Lord, Jesus Christ. So let's take a moment now in a time of silence as we prepare our hearts and our minds to worship him. This time the community comes together to serve God in worship, our opening hymn. We will be singing only verse 1 from the Childless Hymnal, number 119 of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. I am, said Jesus, the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let us, during this Advent season, the season of light, turn our eyes upon Jesus, the light of the world. Let us bow for the invocation, followed by the Lord's Prayer, please. Once again, Father God, we stand at the brink of the season of Advent. Once again, we stand in awe and wonder before the mystery of the Incarnation, God with us. Once again, we are ready to consider the claim of Christ upon our lives. Help us, Lord God, to fully grasp the significance of this miracle, that you indeed came to us in the ultimate revelation of yourself. For it is in your name we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be. Deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power of the Lord. Please be seated. If you would take the insert from your bulletin out, we will be doing our Advent reading for the lighting of the Advent candle. I will be reading the reader's part. We will say our prayer together, and then Cheryl will light the candle for us. Watch, the time is coming. God promised that a Messiah would be born that would transform our lives and our world. Jesus came into the world 2,000 years ago, but we have another chance to prepare. We have another chance to celebrate his birth by making our hearts ready and our lives open to his presence. Watch. Do not let the sparkle of the season overshadow the message. Let us pray together, please. God, we confess that with all of the preparations we have to make, all of the gifts we have to buy, and all of the baking we need to do, we need your help to keep our eyes open. Help us to watch and keep ready for the birth of the Christ child. Amen. We light this one candle to shine in the darkness. May this candle guide our lives and give us hope to prepare our whole selves for Christmas, even if some of the less important things go undone. At this time, the community comes together to share tithes and offerings. Let us now receive our morning offering, remembering that God calls us to prepare for the coming of Christ by being faithful. Our offertory hymn will be singing verses 1, 2, and 4 of number 144, A Little Town of Bethlehem.
We give to others because we have first given ourselves to God. Our devotion to you motivates our devotion to others. Amen.
Please be seated. At this time, the community proclaims the word of God. Our first scripture reading this morning is found in the chapter of Isaiah 9. We'll be reading verses 1 to 7, and that's found on page 687 in the Old Testament portion of your pew Bible. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace. For the throne of David and his kingdom, he will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onwards and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this, the word of the Lord. At this time, our anthem will be A Child of Hope by our sanctuary choir.
The whole world waits in December darkness for a glimpse of the light of God. Even those who snarl humbug and chase away the carolers have been looking toward the skies. The one who declared he never would forgive has forgiven. And those who left home have returned. And even wars are halted, if briefly, as the whole world looks starward. In the December darkness, we peer from our windows, watching for an angel with rainbow wings to announce the hope of the world. And this morning, we're going to share our beautiful anthem, A Child of Hope.
Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome to the Christ Church of Connellsville this first Sunday of Advent. As we begin to light our candles, to hang our decorations, we begin to prepare ourselves for the coming, the advent of the Christ child, and the coming advent of Christ again into this world. It is getting dark outside, not only at night, but even today, but yet our sanctuary is brightly lit, our homes are becoming more lit, and we find that as the darkness descends, the light that we have should shine brighter. Indeed, that is the true test of any faith, whether or not the light that you have within you shines brighter when the world outside gets darker. So we come to rejoice, we come to give thanks, we come to celebrate the gift of the light of the world into our lives, and into our world, into our hearts. And so we give thanks to God for this gift, the first and most important gift that we receive in this time of Advent and in the coming time of Christmas. We also celebrate the gift of the church that God has given us, a place for us to come to worship Him, to celebrate, and to support one another, but a place also to be reminded of the eternal promise of eternal life that God has given us and life beyond death with Him through the ages. This is the first gift we give thanks for, but we know there are many more. So we want to share our joys and concerns this morning, but we also want to lift up those on our prayer list for whom we've been praying. I have just one update that has been given to me. I've been asked that we pray for the family of Dallas Greenewalt. Her grandmother, Edna Livingood, passed away early Friday morning, or late Friday evening, early Saturday morning. She was a resident at Eicher's Care Home, and they are glad that she is with her Lord and beyond all pain this morning. We want to give thanks for that, but pray for Dallas's family, in particular for her mother as she mourns the passing of her own mother. What concerns do we want to share this morning? What joys do we want to lift up before God and one another? Peggy? So Jesse Zitney passed away. Okay. And your cousin Jesse, her surgery went well. So we give thanks, and we rejoice with those who rejoice, and we mourn with those who mourn as we lift them before God this morning. What else? Who else? Sonny. Rejoice. I do hope that you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving, perhaps less eventful than Sonny's, but indeed we had a chance to gather with our families and give thanks. Thank you for sharing that. Jane? For David suffering complications from heart surgery, we pray for David Colvin in the hospital. Teresa? Pray for your sister-in-law, Carol Granado, losing her mother this past weekend, and then also pray for Henry Molinara Sr., who is ill. Thank you for sharing those two prayer requests this morning. Are there any others? Pray for Bill Swan, having surgery tomorrow. Thank you. Rejoice on the gathering of family and rejoice on any time they come together. We know in this world, but we travel a lot and move far away, and that is a great thing. See, yes. it was a joy to be with the choir at Wesley United Methodist at the Festival of Choirs, Thanksgiving Festival of Choirs, and yes, your choir did represent you very, very well. It was a joy. Thank you. Jane. Appreciate. Thank you for that. It was a privilege to preach there, and I thank you for that. Are there any others? Seeing none, let us take a... Oh, wait, there is one more. Kathy. Heading back to Michigan. Okay. We will pray for your safe travels. Let us pray. Gracious God, one in hope, one in faith, and one in baptism, we gather from the four winds to center our lives on the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ. From the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven, we gather to praise you. You who are coming to us in clouds of power and glory, you who have come to us in the form of a small child. You invite us now to embark on the amazing journey of Advent, one that we have gone on before, one that we will likely go on again. One that never grows tiresome and always surprises. Along this journey, we pause to offer you thanks and praise. We give you thanks for the blessings you have given us and bestowed upon us through this church, through our family, through our friends, through your Son, Jesus Christ. We lift them all to you in grateful praise and gratitude that we know that we have been blessed far beyond our own imagination. And still we give you thanks for the blessings that come. For Jessie's surgery going well, we pray and give thanks and pray for her swift recovery. For the gift of family and friends, for the gift of houses that have been saved and celebrations we've shared, we give you thanks. For the gift of family come together, from near and far, we give you thanks. For the gift of song shared by our choir and the gift to come together to share our talents in the Thanksgiving Festival, we give you thanks. For the chance to go home, to travel back to our family and friends, we give you thanks. But Lord, we also ask your help, your strength in our trials. The passing of Jessie Zitney, we pray for the comfort of her family, and we pray that she is with you for all eternity. We pray the same for the passing of Edna Livingood. We pray comfort for her family, for her daughter and grandchildren, for her son and all those who remain in her wake, but we know that she is now beyond pain, beyond the power of cancer, and beyond anything that can touch her body. We celebrate her soul being resting with you. For David awaiting surgery, we pray. As he battles complications from the heart surgery, we pray for his recovery and for his healing. For Henry Molinaro, we pray for his health and his recovery. For Carol Granado, as she mourns the loss of her mother-in-law, we pray for her family that they will be reconciled one to another and comforted in your grace. For Bill Swan awaiting surgery, we pray that all will go well and that he will have a swift recovery and a full recovery and return home in time for Christmas with his family. For those who at this time of year especially miss the passing of a loved one, we pray that they may know that they are always remembered, that they are united through prayer and through your promise of Jesus Christ, or through your hope given us by Jesus Christ, your promise of eternal life, we may meet again. May this season be a season of hope and joy. For you, O Lord, your promise of hope comes to us wrapped in anticipation and expectation. That though the sun may be darkened at this time of year, though the moon may cease to give forth its light, though the stars may fall from heaven, we will continue to thank you that a new day is dawning and, in fact, has begun. A day when we will see the Son of Man coming with power and glory. Reveal to us now, our Lord Jesus Christ, that we may be strengthened and blameless in your sight. You are faithful, Lord. May it be so for us who have gathered in your name. May we continue to be faithful to you as we wait together the coming of your Son into your world, the growing of your Son in our heart and in our life, the light of the world that could not be overcome, a light that we hold dear. May we ever let it shine. In your name we pray together. Amen. Children, come forward for the junior sermon. Come on down and have a seat. Coming from all over. Plenty of room. Come on, Ruth. Right down here. Seat. How's everybody today? Did you have a good Thanksgiving? Are you still stuffed? You still have leftovers? Have you all begun getting ready for the next holiday? You know what it is, right? Do you know what the next holiday is? Christmas. Have you guys begun with your Christmas list? Yeah? Tell me something that you got on your Christmas list. Oh, it shouldn't be that hard. Charlotte, just sit right there. Don't be so bossy. Oh, come on. There's plenty of seats for everybody. There and she sits right in the middle of you, okay? Everybody wants to sit next to Ruthie. It's a popular thing. What's on your Christmas list, me? Legos. Charlotte, what's on your Christmas list? You want Legos too? Okay, you know Santa Claus is watching right now. Did you hear this? Legos and money. Where did that come from? I don't know. Owen. What do you want? Okay. You got anything on your Christmas list yet? Ellie, do you have anything on your Christmas list? Let's try this. I know Charlotte's being a little picky. Come here. Anybody else got something on your Christmas list? What? Gum? You guys want things for Christmas, don't you? You want things for Christmas, don't you? So every year you make a list, right? Every year you make a list. You don't get everything on your list, do you? No. Not everybody always gets things on their list. Okay. You get a list, you lost it, you didn't get the mail. So everybody makes a list at Christmas times for the things they want, and it helps to let Santa know. You don't always get everything on your list, do you? Have you ever gotten everything on your list? Was there ever a Christmas where you got everything on your list? Yeah? What happens when you don't? What happens when you don't get something on your list? Do you throw a fit?
No.
Yes, you should appreciate what you get. Okay, well, you should appreciate what you do get on your list and focus on that, yes. So that's good. You need to understand that. You're going to put your list together. You're not going to get everything on your list. Okay, let's just start with that. But you would appreciate it for everything you do have. Now, these are things that you want for Christmas, right? Now, but why do we celebrate Christmas? Do we celebrate the birth of Santa on Christmas?
No.
Charlotte, what do we celebrate? Why do we celebrate Christmas?
Who do we celebrate?
Birth of who on Christmas? Don't look your minister dad look bad. you do know. Owen, help me out. Jesus. The birth of Jesus, okay? So isn't it weird that it's his birthday, but you guys get things? Owen, you got a birthday coming up.
I do.
You do too? When?
In March.
Yeah, that is technically coming up, yes. But so when you have a birthday, you make a list then too, and on a birthday you get the presents. But Jesus is born, and we get presents. We should be very grateful for that. But do you know that Jesus has a list too? He does. He does. Listen to me. Listen to me now. Jesus has a list for the things that he wants for his birthday. Do you think that Jesus on his list? Well, what do you think is on his list?
Love and kindness.
Yeah, I think you guys are getting it, right? On his list are not Legos. And on Jesus' list are not remote control cars.
Not PS4s,
not Pokemon anything, right? Not even penguins, right? Not even stuffed penguins are on Jesus' list, right? What was on Jesus' list for Christmas, what he wants for his birthday is, it's just what you said, love and kindness, for people to treat each other well. And you said bad people to be good. Yeah, for people to turn around. That's actually where we get the word repent. For people to turn around, people who are acting this way, to turn around and start acting the way he wants them to. And we know that the way he wants us to act is love, kindness, sharing, listening to your parents. That's on Jesus' list, right? Ruth, what do you think is on Jesus' Christmas list? What does Jesus want for Christmas? Socks? Peace in the world. Right. Can you guys give this to him?
Yeah.
Some things are easier to give than others. When I buy Christmas presents for my wife, some of them are easier than others, right? I cannot give my wife a child who listens to her, right? It's on her list, but I can't buy that at the store. Now, can you give Jesus peace on earth? That's a tough one, right? But you can start by being nice to each other, right? Sharing your toys, making friends, being really kind to your brother and sister. Is that easy or tough on your list? Yeah? Yeah? How about your cousin? Is that sometimes hard? Sometimes if you don't have a brother and sister, sometimes your cousins act like your brother and sister. Yes, that's a little hard. See, these are all things we want to do. So, it's great to have our Christmas list. Get it ready, set to stand up. But let's remember that Jesus has his Christmas list too. We want to give him some gifts for Christmas. Okay? Let's remember that we only got, what, 4 more shopping weeks till Christmas. Okay? Thank you very much. You can go to your class now. Our second scripture today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 5 to 20, and that is found on page 56 of the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. Here begins the reading. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in years. Once, when he was serving as priest before God, and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people were praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of an altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know that this is so? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." And the angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and now I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak, until the day these things occur." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, in the words of the old carol, it is the most wonderful time of year. The time that we wait all year long because of the list, because of the decorations, because of the lights, because of the promise that God came into the world to be with us, is with us, will come again, and take us to be with him. This is the theology of Advent. Advent means coming. It also is sometimes interpreted as waiting. The season of Advent is the first season of the church year. You notice that we have colors on the, well, not on the cross, but we have colors on our pulpit, and I changed the colors of my stole. We have the seasonal church calendar, and the first season is Advent. The Advent season are the first 4 Sundays before Christmas. And in this time, leading up to the Christmas Eve service, what I wanted to do this year, so I'm going to preach sermons based on hymns, some that you know well, some that maybe you don't. Some are Advent hymns, some are Christmas hymns. I think these hymns are very rich in theology. I love the lyrics. You know, some hymns we know, and we know the tune, but we don't think of the words as much, and some are richer than others. None are richer in theology than the hymns of Advent and Christmas. I don't want to rush past Advent to Christmas, so there are going to be 2 Advent hymns that we will look at, but then there will be 2 Christmas hymns also, culminating in a Christmas hymn or a collection of Christmas hymns on Christmas Eve. We sing them every year, but I hope that we also take time to really hear them, to hear the lessons that they teach and the stories that they tell. So what we will do, what I will do, is I'm going to preach a sermon based on a hymn, and then we're going to sing that hymn as our communion hymn each Sunday of Advent. Today I've chosen for us the quintessential hymn of Advent. It's number 132 in the Chalice Hymnal. We're going to be singing it, as I said, at the communion hymn. But if you want to open it up and take a look at it, some of the lyrics are going to be very meaningful. It's called "When God is a Child." I love this hymn, and we sing it every year at some point during Advent, because it really just sums up the story that we're listening to, that we are hearing, that we are following and believing. It's number 132. I assumed it was a classic, along with "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel," and along with "O Come, Long Expected Jesus," other hymns of long ago. But I was surprised when I was looking at it this past week that it was actually relatively recent. It was a hymn that was written in the 80s. But before we talk about this hymn, let's talk a little bit more about the season that it describes. Advent comes from the Latin word adventus, meaning coming. And again, also sometimes translated as waiting, because we're waiting for the coming of the Lord. It marks the 4 Sundays before Christmas. It marks the birth of Christ. And so it was the beginning of our year. At one and the same time, Advent celebrates the first coming of Christ in the world, while at the same time anticipating and celebrating his second coming. And this hymn that we have today is great not only for Advent, because of its words, but also because of its structure. For in the season of Advent, it is traditional for each Sunday to have a theme. Each Sunday we light a candle on our Advent wreath. Each one represents a theme of the aspect of Jesus' birth. These aspects are hope, peace, joy, and love. And if you haven't noticed before, we have them on our walls, on our signs, our banners that we hang every year for Advent. So what we have in this hymn is a hymn with 4 stanzas, each one representing each Sunday of Advent. Each stanza beginning with one of these aspects: hope, peace, joy, and love. Take a look at that very first stanza. As it begins, it tells us that hope is a star leading us on, shines in the night, leading us on to the morning is bright. Of course, we know that describes the Star of David shining in the night that eventually would lead the wise men to the home of Jesus' birth, but also announcing to the world that something very special was happening. At this time of year, we use light as an image and a metaphor more than any other time of year, in large part because the world is dark. Christ, we remember, was the light of the world, and the only light that God gave us. As the Gospel of John says, what has come into being, in him was life. And the life was the light of all the people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. It is a wonderful truth that the darker the light, the brighter the light shines. I have gotten most of my lights up, gotten them pretty much squared away, but I can't really test them much in the day. It's hard to tell if your lights are working. So I string them up, and I've got them in the porch, and I've got them on the railing. I've got some wrapped around the mailbox as well, but I cannot tell how many of them are still working until the night comes, until it gets dark. And in fact, when I get them up there and I put them up, I look at them in the daytime, and a lot of times I put them up if it's good weather, maybe a week before Thanksgiving, which I did this year. I put them up and I think to myself, they don't look like very much. Maybe I should do more. Maybe I should buy more. Maybe I should climb up onto the roof and really, do a Chevy Chase National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation type of thing. But then I always wait for the night to come, and I'm always pleased with how they look. You don't need to go overboard. God bless you if you do, but you don't need to. A little bit of light goes a long way when the darkness comes. The people who sat in darkness, Isaiah tells us, had seen a great light. And yes, it was a star that led the wise men to see Jesus, but Jesus Christ himself, if you think about it, was like a small candle. Born as a child, born as a baby, born as a very small thing. It would be very easy to look at him and say, this is what God has sent us. This is the Messiah we've been waiting for. We all know how powerful a small light can be in a deep darkness. As John said, the darkness tried to overcome the light, but it could not. And it's important for us to remember that there is much darkness in the Christmas story. At this time of year, you're going to see a lot of Christmas specials that are pretty much nice and happy and joyful, maybe even a little sentimental. The ones that really have stood the test of time, the ones that really have lasted, the Charlie Brown Christmas special, the Grinch, Rudolph, they had a little bit of darkness, maybe even a lot of darkness. And the reason that this is important is because there was a lot of darkness in the original Christmas story. Jesus did not come into a world that was all fine and dandy. He did not come into a world that was all straightened out. He came when he was needed and needed the most. So when we look at the darkness that we see in our world and in our life, we know that Jesus was the light, and the great darkness he experienced could not overcome it. In our second stanza, we have peace. Peace is a ribbon that circles the earth, giving a promise of safety and worth. We recall, when we hear this verse, the promise of the prophet Isaiah. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It does not mean his life is peaceful, but he brings peace into the world. And indeed, the world has come to know him. When he came into the world, he came into a tiny town in a tiny country that was pretty insignificant as far as the world understood it. He was not part of one of the great empires or part of one of the great nations. And the faith began with that little light, that little candle in that one place halfway around the world as far as we know. And 2,000 years later, indeed, the faith of Christ circles the earth. And that's one of the most remarkable things about his coming. The Jewish faith was small. The nation of Israel was small. Indeed, it still is. And one of the biggest scandals was the number of Gentiles, non-Jewish people, who called him King of Kings and Prince of Peace. But because of that, it spread. It was not contained to one small nation or one small group of people. Because of the understanding that Peter and Paul and the apostles knew that the light of the world was for all people, it spread. And today we sit as members of the church that encompasses the whole world. And we give thanks that what started as small has become great. In the third stanza, we hear that joy is a song that welcomes the dawn, telling the world that the Savior is born. Of course, there is joy. There's always joy at the birth of a child, especially when God is a child. But this is especially important, this type of joy. Joy is different from happiness. Because remember, when Jesus was born, few, if any, people understood or knew or cared. And again, there was much darkness that followed. It was a long time before people fully embraced him as Messiah. Indeed, more than 30 years before his ministry began. And we know that his ministry, as far as the world understood it, ended terribly. But even then, it was only beginning. This is what scholars refer to as proleptic eschatology, the coming that is coming but is not yet here, but we know that it's begun. And that's what Advent's really all about. The dawn is not very light. Have you ever set out and waited for the sun to rise? It is beautiful, but it is not very bright. If the sun were to give us that beautiful sunrise and then go back down below the horizon, it would not be very joyous. We know that the dawn is just the beginning, the promise of a bright, full noonday, the promise of the coming of the sun, which has begun, but has not yet been fully realized. And that's really the story of Jesus, because he comes into the world and he does great things. And he says to his followers, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." But he does not say that the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is here, fully realized, in the flesh, established forever. It's the beginning of his ministry that he started, that we continue to participate in 2,000 years later. And so, when we come into the season of Advent, we remember what has gone before. We remember that we are called to continue to participate in the present. We also celebrate what we believe is coming in the future. The kingdom has not fully arrived, and yet we do not need to wait to rejoice for its realization. It's just like those calendars. Advent calendars were one of the greatest joys of my life as a child because we knew that Christmas was coming. Nothing could stop it. The Advent calendar was a countdown for what we knew was happening. But we didn't have to wait until December 25th to celebrate. And so we do that now as we wait for Christmas to come, but we do that now also as we wait for the kingdom of God to come into this world. And our final stanza is love. Love is a flame that burns into our heart. Jesus has come and will never depart. And we say that even though we know that he did ascend to heaven only about 33 or 34 years later and does not walk the earth the way that the disciples knew or the way that Mary and Joseph knew. But how can we say that he never departs? It's because we have this image of love that is so perfect, so accurate. Love is a flame. And it spreads the same way that flames spread, from candle to candle. One candle touches another and the flame ignites. It spreads, but it never diminishes. When we gather together on Christmas Eve to share the light of Christ, to light the candles one from another, the candle grows, the flame grows, but the flame that we have in our candle does not diminish. It's really the only thing, except for love, that you can share and not have less of. and that's why it's so perfect to describe the way that love spreads, is transmitted from one heart to another. So that although we believe Christ ascended into heaven to be at the right hand of God shortly after the incarnation, we know that if we hold him in our hearts, he walks the earth still in our feet and moves in our bodies because he resides within our hearts. So these are four stanzas that lay out the theme of Advent that we will be celebrating and that we will be remembering, but better than all the stanzas is the chorus, better by far, as we sing it each time. When God is a child, there is joy in our song. The last shall be first, and the weak shall be strong. When God is a child does not simply refer to the nativity, although it certainly does do that. On one level, it points to the nativity. On the other, it is the powerful symbolism of the act itself. It's one thing for God to come to the earth. It's one thing for God to walk among the people. But it's something else entirely for God to come into the earth in the form of a child. For it means that God has come to earth and cannot announce it himself. God required the help of the angels, but also required the help of the shepherds, required the help of Mary and Joseph, required the help later on of the disciples. God did not come into the earth to fix everything on his own, but to give us the tools that we needed to build the kingdom. It means waiting for the child to grow before anything can be done. How anticlimactic. I mean, if you were to get the top thing on your Christmas list this Christmas, but you were told that you were not going to be able to fully enjoy it for 30 years, would you be excited? Would you be able, willing to wait? Would you put it in your closet and forget about it? For 30 years it took for his ministry to begin, and yet still there was joy when he arrived. But it also means that when God is a child, God is not saving the world through power or force, but through love. I mean, right there, it's laid out that he was Messiah, but not in the way that we understood or expected. It culminates in Jesus not giving in to the temptation to call down a legion of angels to defeat the Roman forces and to take him from the cross. You've heard the saying, Jesus Christ was not held upon the cross by four nails, he was held upon the cross by love. That was the way the world was to be saved. That was the way that the Messiah was to be fully realized. The future teachings of Christ are recalled by this chorus, by the saying that the last shall be first, as he told his disciples, so the last will be first, and the first will be last. And when we sing, the weak shall be strong, we reference Isaiah 40, those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up on wings of eagles, they will run and never grow faint. It is through his strength that we are strong. It is through his love that we may love. In his form as a child, Jesus Christ set the world upside down. He was a king whose kingdom was not of this world. He was a Messiah whose weapon was love. He was a child who was God. And we end every single verse by singing, and none shall be afraid. It's so powerful. Think of the angels. Every single time they speak to somebody in the Christmas story, the first thing they say is, fear not. They have to. They have to say that, or their words will not be heard because our fear is strong. It is powerful. It is overwhelming. Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Fear not, they say to the shepherds, for I bring a message of good news for all the world. You know that when he came into the world, it was just as dark as ours, maybe more. There is a great deal that we have to be afraid of. There's a great deal of darkness that we see in our world. I don't know, though, that I would change times. Every time in the world, there was great turmoil, great distress, great fear and worry. So that as we long for the coming of Christ into the world now, it was just as much needed 2,000 years ago. There was a great deal of reason for Zechariah, for Mary, for the shepherds to be afraid. And so the first thing God must do is to take it away. And that is ultimately the message we have in the time of Advent. Fear not. For God is with us. Fear not, for we have good news. A child is born. Fear not, for we have found favor with God. As we begin Advent, our tasks are laid out before us. Everything that we need to do is laid in front of us. We celebrate the birth of the Christ child with hope and peace, joy and love. And we know that if we do that, our hearts will be so full with these things, these wonderful blessings of Christ's coming, that they will have no room left for fear. Advent is a time of coming, it's a time of waiting, it's also a time for preparation. We know that there were many who were not prepared for the time when Christ was a child, when God was a child. We know of the story of the inn. We know the story of the flight to Egypt. We know so many people were not prepared. Let it not be so for us. Let us spend these days filling our hearts with the hope, the peace, joy, and love of Christ, of God as a child, so there will be no room for anything else. Amen. Now the community comes together around the Lord's table. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Let us take the emblems of their passion and partake as best suits your meditation while we sing the communion hymn, number 132, When God is a Child. As I said, I have about 90% of my Christmas lights up, and I do look forward to that every year. I wish that we would, agree to keep our Christmas lights up all through winter, because it is such a nice thing to keep, to see at this time of year. But my son asked me if we could go outside to look at them, and unfortunately it's been raining the last 2 days, so we weren't able to, but it occurred to me, I had not thought of this. Although my lights have been out for 3 days, and Jesse and I went out on Friday, we saw them, and when we came home, we saw them. My kids have not seen them. Because the fact of the matter is that you put up your lights, and you're inside of your house, you really don't see them. You can see them a little bit outside of my window. You can see a little bit outside of my kitchen window. But the fact is that I spend the time setting up the lights, we turn them on, and probably 99% of the time, we don't really see the lights. So why do we do that? Well, one of the reasons we do is because when I was first moved into the house, at Christmas time, I would go up to the kitchen, up to the sink in the kitchen, I would look out my back window, and I could see a neighbor who I've never met, still haven't met, maybe five houses away, and I could see their lights. I really enjoyed it. It made me happy to see that and get me in the spirit. And then sometimes I look out my window and I see my other neighbor's house up the street, and their lights are blinking and flashing, and I really enjoy seeing that. And it occurs to me that so much of the effort we put into decorating our houses really is not for us, but for others. This time of year, when you're driving around, it's wonderful to see all the lights everywhere, because they really do make a difference at the time of year when we're really having to deal with the fact that it gets dark very early, and at Christmas time we will be very close to the solstice when we are at the longest night of the year. And thank God for those who put up their lights. But if only one person did that, it wouldn't really matter that much. If two people did it, it wouldn't matter that much. If 100 people did it, it would be okay. But because each of us do our little part, we let our light shine, as the hymn teaches us. It really does brighten up the world. That's a lesson for us at this time of year and at all times of year. We can only let our light shine so much. We only have so much light to shine. And even if our light looks like one of those houses that you see on HDTV where people go crazy, it's still only one little bit of light. But if you let your light shine, and you let your light shine, and people all over the world let their light shine, indeed, the world becomes a much brighter, beautiful, warmer place. Let us never despair about the darkness. Let us never be tempted to be overcome by it, and think to ourselves, how much can my little light do in the midst of a very dark world at times? Because we know, when God is a child, it spreads like a flame from one heart to the next, one candle to the next, one light to the next. And if we all let that light shine, indeed, the darkness can never overcome it. Now this morning, let us pray.
There used to be a bulletin board in the narthex near the kitchen at Christmas time. It was a photograph of, well, a depiction of the nativity scene, and the words on it were, "Behold the beginning of our salvation. If Jesus hadn't come as a child, we would not have been saved, be caught through his sacrifice." And that's all that needs to be said.
For I hand on to you what was also handed on to me, that on the night the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. And after he blessed it, he gave thanks. He broke it, and he said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he took the cup. After having blessed it, he poured it out. He said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Now the community responds to the Word of God. If any gather here wish to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we dedicate your life to God or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation. We invite you to come forward as we sing our hymn of invitation. Our invitational hymn is One Candle Was Lit, number 128, verses 1, 2, and 5. Let us stand as we sing. Let's bow our heads for the benediction. May the light of God's glory shine brightly in your lives, and may you seek to be a beacon of hope for those who walk in darkness.